Fred Film Radio, Berlin International Film Festival, Germany.
Joining us at this time on the Big Fred Tuesday from Ukraine is filmmaker Katerina Gornostai to talk about her feature debut, Stop Zemlya, recently introduced to the American public at the 50th anniversary edition of New Directors New Films and winner of the Crystal Bear at this year's Generation 14 Plus of the Berlinale. Katerina, welcome to the Big Fred Tuesday.
Hello.
All right. So, this is great because we're going to be talking about Stop Zemlya, your film. Actually, let me just start off by congratulating you. I understand your film won the Crystal Bear at the Berlinale this year. So well done. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
And the first question that I have for you is kind of an annoying question to answer, I realize, but some of our listeners may not be familiar with the film. So would you mind maybe saying a few words to introduce it?
Yeah, I know the tough question. Okay, I'll try. But, you know, I haven't seen it for a long time now. Oh. And I'm waiting for the moment to watch it actually with the audience, because it was never the time to watch it with the audience. This year is really tough for us filmmakers, as you can imagine. Yeah. So, yeah. But what I remember about this film, that this is a really simple story about Ukrainian teenagers and one introverted, we might say, that girl with the name Masha. This is the story about their routines and the year before the entering the university and some fears and anxieties and platonic love and friendship. So this is like really simple story about teenagers that are doing simple things. Because, you know, I was, while I was a teenager, it was really for me, I loved all the films that were made for teenagers and about them, but it was always the case that they have really interesting life inside these films. And mine was really boring. if we compare this kind of a film and the real life. So when we were starting doing this film and developing the script, I was really excited to make a story that would be similar to my boring life. So yeah. It's a boring film about teenagers, actually.
It's true. When I think back to my adolescence, my teenage years, I pretty much feel the same way. I really didn't have the type of adventurous film life that you see in Hollywood productions and American films. It was which was a bit strange thinking back. But I want to talk about how you constructed this vision of authenticity, because I read about it, but I'd love to know more about it. But first, I wanted to say, correct me if I'm wrong, is this your feature film debut?
Yes.
And so what was it that actually prompted you to make it about adolescence and this period of, as you said, boredom and self-discovery too?
You know, it's like the, we may say that it's easy way to make the first film about teenagers. I don't know why, but it's a common thing. And sometimes I hear these questions about, you know, everybody do that. So the debut film about teenagers, why do you do that too? But I don't know, when I was thinking about the first film, it started like without a question, you know, what the topic of the film would be. It would be like that. And then I started to analyze why it happened like that, why teenagers actually in this topic. And I think that the answer is I have some important points in my life. Uh-huh. From which I remember that my life was different a bit, or the appreciation of life was like different after that. So that points are really important, and this was one of the points and one of the first one in my life when I realized that I'm capable of doing anything, but not everything is up to me, but sometimes it involves some other people that are doing their choices. So that point was really important, and I really wanted this first film to be about this first point, you know, in my life that I remember really important time and important point.
You mean like a coming of age landmark moments in your life?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
It is set in contemporary times, and it feels like, you know, this past decade in particular, maybe because of certain technological advancements that have been brought in, it's just things have changed so much inevitably. But you, it seems, constructed this authentic vision with an interesting process. This is what I read. Basically, you interviewed over 200 teenagers and worked with a cast of non-professional actors as well. Is that right?
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, can you tell me more about this process? Because it sounds like it would have been very lengthy and it would have taken quite some time.
The first draft of the script actually was based on everything I remembered about this time, this coming of age story. But then we were aware that we wanted to make this story modern because we don't have professional actors of that age. So we knew that we should find people from real world to be placed in this script and this story, and I really want for them to be comfortable in this environment. And because of that, we need to set the story in modern times, because I didn't want to, you know, this like a kind of reconstruction of time. I really wanted to be on the same page with these people that would be playing these roles. So because of that, we needed a lot of information about how we changed after we finished school, after these 15 years. But so this was like the most interesting thing for me. I want for them to be in their like natural environment, I may say this.
Right.
Or, yeah.
And I mean, did you find the actors during the interviewing process? Were they among the over 200 people that you interviewed?
Yeah. Actually, it was the part of a casting process, but our casting was, you know, it was like we have this term verbatim. I don't know if you have it. It's verbatim. It's like the deep interview with people, and it's about to make a connection with another person and to. I tried to talk with them about different valuable things for me and about me and about them. So it was like an exchange of experience.
Yes.
And for me, this is the crucial part of the casting process. That's how this 25 people were actually, this was one of the stage. After these interviews, we have another stage with more physical and practical, casting, because this laboratory that we were having in mind at that time, it was a lot of physical processes and a lot of, like actors, different actors, activities. So, we picked, 65 or more people to, try and to show them how it would gonna be. Mm-hmm. And from this 65, on the last stage, we had these 25 people that, formed, this class.
And so was it during these laboratories, as you said, and even those conversations that you shaped the final script?
Yeah, we may say that, because a lot of in this script were written, you know, more schematic. I mean, in terms of personalities or in terms of we even invented some scenes after all this process before the shooting, and we even invented scenes during the shooting, because it appeared to me that this line between Masha and Senia, best friends but really tender, with this tender relationship coming on the front line for me, and I really wanted this line to be stronger. So yeah, some scenes we invented during the shooting even to make it more clear and to make it more strong inside of the film. But yeah, any time when you write a text, a script of your future film, while you are not seeing the faces of your future actors and don't know how they're talking and how they behaving, this script is somehow schematic. So you have this events inside of the script, but how people would be react exactly, you can't imagine. This is the hard thing, and I really like this kind of a thing when we had this group group, and this group somehow was placed inside of the script and changed a bit the characters. So they were, you know, like they placed, they, so they came there and have their own places and changed the characters a bit. And these characters became like fully blooded person inside the script.
Yeah, they became more real, again, more authentic.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. But how much do you feel that this process was prompted by or inspired by your own background in documentary filmmaking?
I'm really thankful for all the experience that's connected with documentary cinema and my school, actually, it's School of Documentary Cinema and Theater. And because, you know, we're all always joking with my colleagues in documentary that we have this, you know, like the vaccine about the true things. So we always see when something is false on the screen. And this kind of a thing really helps to reconstruct some realities and to see all the all this not true kind of things of behavior of the actor, for example. And this was the method in which we constructed the scenes, for example, because we realized that we can't do this kind of a one shot and one line of the text, for example, or something like that. We tried to construct the whole scene all together and make it just a few times from different angles. But the actors were placed in this scene and they were living through this scene, not like acting, you know, this. Now I'm talking about, now I'm saying this line just for this kind of a so this was the process when we tried to construct the scene like a documentary scene, actually.
Yeah. So you think that your background in documentary kind of makes you more aware of what is artificial or what is staged?
Yeah, yeah.
Staged.
Yes, yeah, staged and artificial. Yeah, that's the words I was lacking in previous sentences. Yes, yes.
Yeah. 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 I mean, that's interesting. But I mean, this film kind of does blur that line between fiction and documentary, right? Are you interested in this blurring the lines?
Yeah, actually, yeah, a lot. Because, you know, for us, it was, I don't know what would be happening with me when I, like, finally watched this film with audience, because it's really a strange thing for us, for I believe that for me and all the crew and actors' crew, this project and this film are maybe more than a film. It's like the part of life and the part of a great process and the part of real life. And I really wanted this film to be in this film too, you know? Because they were so cool. They were always given a lot, given a lot of themselves inside of this story. And I really wanted to emphasize this.
You mean sharing a lot about their own lives?
Not even about some details of the lives, but about how they, what people are they? I don't know. Actually, they were playing themselves, but sometimes hyperbolized themselves. I don't know how to explain it, but something like that. So, yeah.
And do you think that was the camera that kind of encouraged them to maybe, you know, hyperbolize, as you said, themselves?
This is the camera, like the part of the cinema process, actually, because every cinema process, every like film process, every shooting, if it would be or a documentary film or a fiction film, it acts like that. So the person that is inside of the frame, it begins to, I don't know how to say it, to flourish more, or it's working every time in everywhere, in documentary environment and in fiction films as well. When you construct the scene right, when you're talking about the fiction process, for example. So yeah, it's working like that. And, so I really wanted this kind of thing to be blurred a little bit because they are playing inside fiction reality, but this events from that reality, they are really common to them, like real people. So, yeah.
And maybe there's a little bit of fiction in all of our lives, really, when I think about it.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes it's really interesting to watch your life from some side, you know?
Yeah.
Like the person that is thinking about dramaturgy of this life, but not about, not feeling this anxiety about it. Yeah, this kind of a thing I do a lot. And sometimes I'm even thinking, what would it be interesting if I do not like it was in real life, but like that, for example. So yeah, this is kind of a thing that helps a lot.
Understanding other people's points of view.
That's another thing, yes. And this is the thing from documentary process and documentary studying. For me, it is, because this was the main goal of our school, to practice this new optic of the viewing on people, to try to not even understand them, but to feel why they do like that or not like that.
Right.
This was really, that was, the school made me as a director, I think. So, yeah.
Did you realize that you wanted to be a director when you were, you know, in the same age range as the characters of this film in your late teenage years?
I knew that I want to archive the reality somehow. I really was fond of photography and film photography a lot. And photography for me for a decade was like the main thing I really liked. So I was doing it, but yeah.
Is that though? Why? Where do you think that came from? That desire to archive reality, as you said.
You know, it's something like from maybe American Beauty. This is the film that I watched when I was really little, and it was a lot from that film. This film that I really understand that there's so much beauty in the world that you need to. I don't know why, but it was important for me from the beginning to fix this kind of reality, to archive it, to preserve it. I don't know how to say it. And that's why I started with documentary cinema, because this is the most direct way to archive the reality, the real reality.
Yeah.
And then it was for me more interesting to have this reality. I remember it, but now to recreate it. Now I feel more free inside of this recreated reality, in fiction films.
And what was it like a universal reality that you were going for, rather than a reality that is essentially tied to a specific location, like in your film?
You know, it was not the aim for me to make it universal, because somehow it is universal because we all have these universal problems in that coming of age time, and it appeared like that. But I was I really wanted to make it this film about Ukrainian teenagers, and for example, this kind of thing that you feel while you're watching that film, when you understand Ukrainian language, it's another level of understanding, you know, of their characters and lives. And there's a lot of different funny things inside their language, actually. And I'm so sad that it's hard to translate into subtitles. I'm afraid that it is. So I guess that European and worldwide viewer watch this film more about universal problems and universal stuff. But Ukrainian viewer, I believe, and I really wanted to see how it would be, but I believe that Ukrainian viewer would watch this story about some kind of details of everyday life, of really common reality, because we tried to recreate the common reality of Ukrainian teenagers for everybody to see themselves inside this reality.
Yeah, to connect with, yeah. You mean slang, right? Just words that cannot, terms that cannot be translated all that easily.
Slang
languages.
And you know, some strange connection between words when you try to, it's not even a slang, it's I don't know, you notice that this film is having a lot of different dialects, and they are talking a lot, and sometimes with this intonation and using the connection between words, we have this kind of funny thing that when you translated it, it's nonsense. But in Ukrainian, it feels funny. I don't know how to explain it, but yeah.
does that include the title of the film? I mean, what does Stop Zemlya mean?
It was so hard to translate this. This is the game, actually. And literally, it means stop the Earth, stop the planet. And this was the name of the film long before the pandemic started. So when it started, we realized that if we would be translating in literally, some people may say that maybe we will talk about some kind of isolation and pandemic issues, but we didn't want this connotation, and so we tried, we just left it as it is in Ukrainian. So this is the game, childish game, when you have the person that catches everybody, and he or she with blinded eyes. So this person hears everybody around, and when he or she hears that some of the crew or of the others are going through the ground to other place, for example, you shout, "Stop Zemlya!" And if this person was on the ground, it became it. So it like something like that. And so this is really simple game that they are playing in the film, just to remember how it was funny and cool to be a child. But I like this connection of words, because we have this kind of a cosmos topic inside of the film. So this stop the planet, thing is about this kind of, be in the moment. And for me, it's one of the, most important topic of this film. Because when you are living this graduation year before you enter the university, you live in such state when you, waiting for something. You're not living it in the moment. You're waiting for your grown-up life to come, for you to make some grown-up decisions, and you're frozen in this kind of time when you are waiting for it. And I really wanted to shift this kind of scene to this another side. You cannot only wait, but you can live through this moment happily, or to feel this moment. So, for me, this title is connected with this film.
Yeah. Speaking of the pandemic times, though, I believe you said you haven't watched the film in a while, right?
Yeah.
Does it have something to do with that? Is because you don't want to watch it unless it's on in the cinema with an audience?
I watched it a lot while we were editing and then doing post-production. So it was, really a lot. But, this is the issue of pandemic time. That's why film already existing in the world for half of a year. But for me, it was really hard to watch it with a real audience, you know?
Right.
Because all things are going online but this is another experience. I'm having this kind of a teaching in university, documentary cinema, actually. We're doing it with students. I'm like a curator of their diploma projects in documentary film. This is the second year when we're doing it online. It's only online studying. I think that maybe online studying is like worldwide, and you have the same things in universities and school for past second year, actually. But I really want to say that it's not the case of studying, and it's not the case of watching the films. We need to go and together. It's another way of thinking, and it's another way of a relationship between people. We need to go, and I hope that everything would be okay with it, and the universities would be teaching their students offline, and cinemas would be working, because it's another experience when you're watching the films with a lot of people, and you watch the film the way the whole crew that made this film intended it to be, with a good sound, good color. So, this is the thing really hoping to experience maybe soon.
Yeah, essentially what you're saying that there is that there is no replacing the experience of actually going to the cinema with the online world. And I definitely agree with that. But so I'm very curious now, and maybe we'll end it at this because we've exceeded the time. But you've been very generous with your answer, and I'm really enjoying the conversation. But I just want to ask you, because I'm not familiar with it, but do people in Ukraine, is there a film culture there? Do people like to go to the cinema and maybe watch something that is beyond the typical Hollywood blockbuster and stuff like that?
Oh, we're working on it. Actually, that's true, because, you know, we have this past 5 years, cinema of Ukraine is really cool, I think. And we have a lot of different young directors that are doing really interesting projects that are going to different worldwide festivals. And I believe that people now are more interested in Ukrainian cinema that was more than even like 5 years before. So I hope that would be changing a lot in future years, because sometimes, so before it was hard, but to watch something Ukrainian, but now, we were doing it, and a lot of different films of different genres are going on the screens. So, I believe it would be changing.
Yeah. Well, let's hope for that, for sure. Yeah. And, but Katerina, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you. It was the same for me. Thank you very much.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.